Out of control there. It went an hour and 25 minutes, but that's, I'm sorry. It deserved a lot more than that. So we have four interesting questions here, some which have parts. So let's talk about this for just a minute, and then I'll be glad to hang around a while afterwards. This is so fascinating, isn't it? It's beyond belief how fascinating this is. And what I want you youngsters to know is I used to be very worried when I was your age, high school and college age, that if I dug deeply into the sciences, it would cost me my faith. I really believed that. And part of the reason I did is because my professors, some of them, who were absolute atheists and dogmatic, were helping that along. And so I'm saying to you, don't you let them do that to you. You study as deeply as you want in the sciences and keep your mind open. Don't just take the storyline and learn everything you can learn about it. I believe if you keep your head on straight, it will strengthen your faith, not lessen it. Do you know if the cell contains some type of mechanism either to recycle, dispose of, or break down messenger RNA after it's been read and translated? Isn't that a good question? And my answer is, I don't know the answer to that. Transfer RNA, you remember that one that carried the amino acid in? That's unique to that specific amino acid? Once it's deposited of its amino acid, it floats back into the cytoplasm and is used again to bring the next one in when it's needed. So transfer RNA is the perfect recycled thing. I just don't happen to know about messenger RNA. I'm sure there's a delightful answer to that. So maybe one of you can find that out. Google back here tomorrow and let me know. But think about that. In the messenger RNA brought the information from the DNA in the nucleus to the ribosome, got it translated, and now here it is. Now what do you do with it? I suspect there's a good answer to that. I just don't happen to know it. All right, here's another question. How much time do you believe is necessary to change from studying science with someone to getting them into the Bible? And I have a very small set of illustrations to answer that question. I have studied with several atheists in my life, some of them on a personal level. In particular, there was one I remember in Romania with whom I studied. He was raised in the Romanian Orthodox Church by people who didn't believe in God. And they weren't allowed to use the Bible. And so he grew up with an atheistic view of life. I was privileged, he was in the Merchant Marines, so I was privileged to catch him on one of the occasions where he was in Constanza and we got to spend a whole week doing this together, personally. And I will have to say, his mind was open and blown by what he saw, and he was deeply thankful that I showed him what he could see from science about the reasonableness of believing in God. But after my week with him, he left on the Merchant Marines and I never saw him again. Nor have I heard that he's ever obeyed the gospel. But I can say to you, I've had a number of instances where I've studied with those who were not believers, who certainly were open enough to see that there's something to this, we need to dig deeper. How long will it take? I have an idea that's unique to each person, depending on lots of other factors, because people don't become atheists just because somebody says evolution's true. There are always other factors. Emotional, life lessons, backgrounds. So it's a complex issue, but here's what I would say to you. You remember the Bill Nye debate that he had with Ken Ham that was so publicized everywhere? That was one of the greatest disappointments of my study of this subject. Let me explain to you why. I felt like Ken Ham missed one of the most glorious opportunities to do it right. And let me tell you why I think he didn't do it right. Ken Ham's whole approach was, we believe the Bible's the Word of God, and that's where we start. That's where they started. The Bible is the Word of God, and science agrees with that. Well, that's not an awful thing to do. But when you're talking to a man who doesn't even believe in God, and you start with, we start with the Bible as the Word of God, he doesn't even believe in God. You know what that evolved into? Studying, does the Bible the Word of God? So he attacked Genesis, he attacked the flood, he attacked a number of other things about the Bible. I don't want to go there when I'm talking to an atheist. In my opinion, you go to their own ground. And you start with them on common ground. We're both scientists. I believe in the scientific method. I believe it's not answers, doesn't answer everything. But science works in its own way. And to go to a scientist and use a totally different methodology just closes his mind before you ever started. And it was such a disappointment. I turned it off. I couldn't stand it. It was like they were on two different planets. In my opinion, what Ken Ham should have done is use the Bill Nye scientific evidence to which he appealed and tear it to shreds and show why the intelligent design explanation of the same evidence was much more reasonable. Forget using the Bible when a person doesn't even believe in God. So that was thrown in free of charge on that one. How long will it take? It'll take long enough for the person to open his mind that there's a God. And I'll tell you how I would bridge it. I would say, well, now that you've become convinced that it's reasonable to propose there's some kind of designer, surely you can see whoever the designer is must be magnificent beyond belief. And shouldn't we dig deeper into that? And could it be possible that that designer who made us in his image, I believe, the only creatures anywhere that we know about who think about God and where we came from, there is zilch evidence that any other creature thinks about that. Don't you think he might have tried to communicate with us some other way as well? I think he has. Now try to lead him to the Bible and show him why I think that. All right, when they say that genetically engineered DNA for people can change someone's features or remove the kind of illness to avoid being sick or deformed, how do they do it? And is it actually working scientifically? You know, you've been reading and hearing about genetic manipulation, right? I'm sure everybody has. And if someone has a genetic defect, can we go in there and fix it? And the answer is yes. Okay. And no, I'm not so sure we should. Because that becomes an ethical question. And where you draw that line exactly is hard for me. I've got a lot of thinking to do about that. I do believe doctors have done amazing things for us physically in lots of other ways. Right? I mean, would you have ever believed they could go in and take your kidney out and put another one in that belonged to somebody else? And a heart? And liver, of all things? So, for a long time, doctors have been messing with our physical person to help us be better. So I'm not opposed to that. I think God gave us the capacity to figure out things and thereby to help ourselves. The question when it gets to the DNA is we're talking about the inheritance, who you are, and your inheritance. How much can you mess with that? And I just don't have a good solid answer to that question. So your generation is going to have to deal with that. Because there are some ethical issues there. You know, don't you, that when they can now take tests on you when you have a baby in your womb, they can tell you it's going to be mongoloid before it's born because of the genetics. And you know there are people that will tell you, young ladies, you shouldn't have that child because you're going to put him through torture all his life, so you should abort that child because of his genetics. I'm not going there, folks. So will there come a day when we can go in and change the genetics for a mongoloid and make it not a mongoloid? It's theoretically possible. But my problem with it is, I've just shown you a little taste of all this stuff here. Is it complex? And we start messing with things when there's 68 things we don't know anything about, and we're messing with this little piece of it. What else is it doing, and how is it going to modify things, and what's going to happen? I just don't have a good feeling for how we should do that. So, did I get around that question? There are some things we've done genetically, though, to help people. You know that. Can anybody give me an example? Interesting. You probably didn't hear that. He's speaking of doing some mitochondrial DNA transfer to help a woman be able to conceive. I'm not familiar with that, but... Yeah. Well, there's lots of things that we're looking at, and I will say this. You know the whole subject of cloning has been brought up. You know that we can now clone creatures from the DNA structure in creatures that are already existing. That's not creating anything, people. That's taking what's already created and putting it in another egg that's been vacated and letting it grow is what that is. But should you do that with humans? I don't think so. All right. If you took half of a strand of DNA, remember the DNA unzips? If you took half of that strand, unzipped it, and replaced all of the T's with U's, would you wind up with something structurally the same as RNA? Isn't that a good question? Did you follow it? You can answer this one. Let me picture it. You've split the DNA up, right? And you take this piece up here, and you cut it out, and you remove the T's and put U's in the place of it. Will what you have be exactly what the RNA would have been for that section? What's the answer? No. And if you didn't follow it, you go home and study it. That would not make that same RNA. But structurally, it would have the same kind of stuff that an RNA would have. It just won't have the same sequence that the RNA would have. Because the RNA is the mirror image, remember? Okay. What is evolutionary development biology, and how does it tie into the arguments about explaining away the need for God? Evolutionary developmental biology. That's the study of how things develop by means of evolution. And that's a whole series of subjects in universities. And yes, the whole thrust of that set of courses is to explain to you how life and everything else got here by the evolutionary process. That's what it's for. And I will tell you, colleges are eaten up with this from one end to the other, including religious universities, who have long since given up their notion that a God created instantaneously different kinds which do not have any relationship to each other except they were created by a common creator. There aren't many places that still believe that in the college world. And it's because of the evolutionary theory. So parents and young people, when you go to these schools and you sit at the feet of these folks, just remember their worldview is so different from yours. It's like night and day. And you are being impacted by it. I would wish for you the opportunity to sit at the feet of Christians who firmly believe in creation while you're learning your biology and chemistry. I would wish that for you. And there's a place to do it. I'm not saying anymore. Okay, that's it. And that's probably enough. I will say to you, get an A, class, because I didn't see anybody falling asleep. Amazing. And I know I wore you out. But I hope you're as fascinated about this as I am. And I hope you'll take it and build on it and grow with it. because there's so much more. You kids, if I may call you that, who have grown up in this generation are the most blessed people ever in terms of the massive amount of information that's out there now about life at the chemical level. It's exciting. And don't you let anybody take that from you. Take it and develop it to the point that it will show people that there's a God. When I was at Harvard in 67, 68, I spent every spare minute in Widener Library, which is the library that catalogs all 68 of their libraries, and there was nothing worth reading from a creationist standpoint. The things I found were junk. In 2018, there is more massive good information by people who are well-qualified, well-studied scientists who have researched and done their homework, teaching you why you should believe in a creator. It's massive. Don't you miss out on that. And I wish you the best as you learn better why it is more reasonable than ever to believe in God. Okay, that's our topic today.